You are listening to the Wisdom with Trish podcast. This is episode 11, The Manual. Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish, I'm your host. I'm a mom to 6 kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep, most of my life I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. Hello, everyone. I just have a lot of thoughts on my mind today, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to jump on and do a podcast. I was going to do a podcast this week about diet culture, and I'm still going to do that. That will come out probably next Thursday. But for today, I just want to talk a little bit about a principle that I've learned through many of the life coaches that I follow and listen to that's really helped me in my life. And I feel like it's just an appropriate time to talk about this idea. And the idea is, it's called the manual. And the manual is something that we all create in our lives. Like, I have a manual that I have for my husband where I have something in my mind about expectations I have for him and what I think a relationship with him should look like. And it's all my expectations. And just like when you receive something new, like a new kitchen tool or any kind of new item that you've not used before, of course you'll read the manual and the manual will tell you how that item's supposed to function. Well, we have manuals for relationships in our lives. We just do. I have a manual for even my relationships with my sister or my sister-in-laws or the people I serve with at church or my friends. We all have this idea in our minds of what those relationships should look like and the expectations. And I've been thinking a lot about the manual because I'm watching everyone be navigating this COVID-19 crazy time in our lives. And while I'm watching, I'm noticing how everyone has a manual on how we should be social distancing or feeling about social distancing or even like, should we wear a mask at the store? Should we wear gloves? Everyone's deciding how they should operate through COVID-19. And then when they know what they want to do, they somewhat make a manual for everyone else. And I think that's tricky right now because here in Texas, we are starting to open up. You can go eat at a restaurant. They're not all open, but many are. And they're seating at 25% capacity. More and more stores are opening up. The economy is doing what it needs to do. The economy needs to open. We need to get people working. And even that, me saying that, you might have a manual for this situation that you disagree with that you think, oh no, we should keep things locked up longer, or, you know, whatever it is, we're all doing it. We're all creating in our minds a manual for the situation of our expectations of how things should go. And I think it's really powerful to recognize that we set up in our mind expectations for people and kind of a rule book for people of what we think people should be doing. And we do. So in our relationships, it looks we just had Mother's Day, but our family's celebrating Mother's Day this week. We had to float it a Sunday just because of other things we had going on. So this Sunday's Mother's Day, so I have a manual for what my Mother's Day should look like. And over the years, I've learned to adjust that manual because having a manual and rules for what I think Mother's Day should look like oftentimes does not serve me, because when I don't have my expectations met and people don't follow the rules I have made in my manual, that usually people don't even know what they are, they're just in my manual and that's kept to myself, it's very frustrating. So here we are. Life is different than any of us are used to. It's just this new norm that we have. And I would love to suggest to you that maybe choosing not to have a manual and expectations during this time will probably serve you better than being frustrated when people are not following the rules and guidelines in your manual that you think they should. I know for me, it's very, if I'm scrolling through Facebook and I find, you know, when you're trying to do something a certain way and it really matters to you and it's a little painful for you to do it that way, when you see other people maybe not doing it the same way, and, you know, like I'll see a group of friends together, or, you know, I'll just see people not social distancing like my family is, I have judgment about that and I have to kind of check myself. But then I know that my family might not social distance to the degree that you would be comfortable with, and you might feel like, oh, they're not doing what they're supposed to be. So I think it would just serve all of us if we just assume that everyone in the situation is doing their best. And if it looks different than what you have decided or what you have created in your mind is the ideal, to decide, oh, that's my manual of the situation. That's my own rule book that I've come together, that I put together. And that doesn't necessarily mean that's theirs. And they can have their manual the way they need to have it, and mine can look different. So why would I bring that up on a Wisdom with Trish podcast? Well, I don't have to have all my topics be about diet culture and the Word of Wisdom. We talk about that a lot here, but this came up for me a lot when I first started making all my connections with my answers about how I should be eating and the Word of Wisdom. I remember sitting in my first ward council when I'm starting to figure out that my manual that I'm, you know, like, I didn't feel like that was what it was called at the time. I just starting to think, I don't think the Lord wants me eating meat all the time. I think he allows us to figure it out, but I'm starting to have kind of the fog part, and I'm starting to see more clearly that that's what the Lord wants of me. And then we're at ward council and we're planning, and some of you might be in my ward, so there's no judgment here at this point, but you have to know that when it's happening, I had some things to work through. So we're planning a ward, our first ward linger longer. And the menu was a little bit horrifying to me because of things that I've been figuring out, right? There weren't a lot of plants on the menu, let's say that. And these are all people who love the Lord and also believe in the Word of Wisdom, right? And so this was really my first kind of eye-opening experience that the Lord is working with everyone differently. And I had somewhat created a manual for now of what I thought what living the Word of Wisdom looked like. And for those of you who are listening who might not be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Word of Wisdom is a health, kind of a health code that we've been given, that we believe has been directed from God. And there's a lot of, there's clarity about what we should not be partaking in. Drugs, alcohol, coffee, tea, addictive substances, basically. And those things are made very clear. But the health part of the Word of Wisdom is more left to our own understanding to study, read, and gain an understanding we have to ask what that means for us. So I'm in this process of figuring out the Lord really wants me to focus on plants and the way that He grows them and the way that He's intended for us to eat them. And then to leave the meat alone. So I'm having all this, right? But then I'm watching those around me. And man, I am starting to have the biggest manual you can imagine. Thinking, well, if the church functions should be a safe place for me, we should all be eating this way. And I'm thinking that, although I hadn't ate that way for, 45 years. And so I really had to process that. And that was hard for me for a little while. And I even had a brother-in-law who said to me, he very much felt like I was telling him that he was not living the word of wisdom. And that all breaks my heart today because I'm in such a different place. But at the time, when you start figuring some things out and you start figuring out the part of the word of wisdom that talks about you'll have treasures, like you start seeing the treasures of the word of wisdom, that there is an ability to, if you follow the word of wisdom, to not have diseases that plague most people in America in their older years. So when you see that and that starts, like, you start having, like, light bulbs going on about that, you really want to save the world and you really want to tell everybody. Well, in my excitement and overeager desire to save the world, I came across very preachy and very, I made people feel like that they were not doing something that they thought they were. And now I've evolved and I feel like God's really helped me see that He has talked to me in a very specific way. And that's not what's the very specific way that's meant for everyone. Everyone's not in that place to hear that message. And that might not be the message that is ever given to them. But everyone's in the place that they need to be. And everyone, they all love the Lord and they're all doing their best. And it's like I said with COVID, what works for me is not necessarily what's going to work for another family or even a family member or a friend. Or so I've had to really check my manual for what I've decided works for, or, what I feel like God's answers to me have been, does not necessarily mean that's going to be everyone else's answers. And that took some evolving on my part. Like, that did not happen overnight. Because I think that any time that you have answers, you just assume that's answers for everyone. And that's just not the way it goes. The Lord's working with each of us. And He's gonna help all of us. So, your manual. You might even have a manual for the way that your kids eat. And that one's another tough one because you are part of their lives and you're the provider for them. And they may not want to make choices like you want them to. And expectations make this way of eating really hard. And if you're always having expectations for your kids to like certain things or to always make the best choices, you're going to be frustrated. So I've talked a little bit about this before, but what's worked in our family is I just have really healthy choices for them at home. And then, like this last weekend, we went to a cabin with my brother and he has kids, and we were at a cabin and there was lots of yummy food to partake of. And I partook of some of that and I enjoyed and had a really fun vacation. I also ate my still cut oats and I had potatoes and salad and all the other things that I eat on a regular basis, but we definitely had some treats and my kids had a lot more treats than I did. And I could have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy being worried about that. And not having a manual for my kids and the way that they navigate their eating, that has served me better than trying to have a manual. Because if I try to have a manual with them, I'm just frustrated and I'm just almost not staying in my own lane. And what does that mean? I have to be in my lane and I'm their mom. So part of my lane is having healthy, great foods. But once when I get out of my lane, that looks like me trying to be in charge of what they're going to eat every second of the day. And that doesn't work. And it just causes frustration. And kids, somewhat, you don't want your kids to have an eating disorder. You don't want your kids to feel like you are micromanaging their world. Not around food. And my kids, you know, we're home now and they don't have all of the yummy stuff that we were eating on vacation. And I went to the store today and spent $200 on restocking the house with plants. And, you know, I'm watching them. They're a little sad that vacation's over, but I have to kind of ignore that. And they have to be in a little bit of discomfort that we're getting back to eating our plants again. But they figure it out and they adjust, and I'm okay with that. But what I find is usually doesn't work is if I start being frustrated with them, that they're frustrated. Like, why can't we just be happy that we have this good, nutritious food? Nope, that's not how it works. So just be thinking about what manual you have in your life. You know, even this works for everything. It works with all relationships. But when you try to improve your eating, you really start to have a manual, and you start thinking, you start watching other people, and it's really easy to get out of your own lane. So I wanted to jump on today and talk about that and give you something to think about. You know, in the COVID situation, it's something to think about, to just drop your manual and do what's best for your family and decide everybody else is doing what's best for their family. And then do the same thing when it comes to eating. Dr. Clapper is one of my favorite doctors, plant-based doctors, and I haven't talked much about him on the podcast, but he actually talks about what you should do when you first start eating plant-based, and it's the exact opposite of what I did. When I started, I talked about it all the time to my kids, to my married kids, to my friends. I had to just talk about it all the time because I was making such a huge change that it was just all I cared about, and that's all I talked about. And I had some really patient friends that would listen. But I mean, it got even old for my married kids are some of my best friends, and I just really, you know, this went on for a while, and they just, oh, mom. And I wish that I had Dr. Clapper's advice when I first started. And his advice is this. He's like, make changes for yourself. Start doing this for yourself. And do it in a way that you don't bring any attention to yourself. Just get about the business of taking good care of yourself and saving your life. And do it in a simple way that you don't have to be the center of attention. And I don't know that I was trying to be the center of attention, but I just get so excited about things that I have to talk about things all the time. And so if you're that way, find an outlet. It was very helpful for me to find Facebook groups that also live and eat this way. One of my favorites is Discovering the Word of Wisdom support group. It's Jane Birch wrote a book, and it's called Discovering the Word of Wisdom through a whole food, plant-based foods perspective. And it's fantastic. And they have a support group on Facebook for that. And that's been very helpful to me. The Forks Over Knives, that is the movie that I watched in the beginning of my journey that was so good. They have a support group on Facebook. Dr. McDougall has a Facebook group. There's lots of good groups out there. And so that, once I found that, it really helped me to not burn my bridges with my family and my friends. but it's tricky. But what Dr. Clapper says, he says, like, when you go to a restaurant, don't draw a lot of attention to yourself. When you need to make an order, order your simple salad that you're going to order because there's nothing else on the menu. And don't make a big deal about it. Just order it and move along and eat your salad and don't make a big fuss about it. This is about saving your life and for you doing what's best for your life. And just get about the business of doing that. And there is power in those words. The other thing that we do with the manual is when you've lived a life of dieting, when you start eating whole food plant-based, it's really important for you to drop the diet mentality. And what do I mean by that? Because you're thinking, well, Trish, but you're telling me to eat whole foods and I don't get to eat all the other food I like. So why is that's a diet to me? Well, this is what I'm talking about. When we diet and we follow a diet, we're asked to eat at a certain time, eat a certain amount, eat in a certain eating window, all of those kinds of things. And I don't want you to do that when you eat, when you follow the word of wisdom. I don't think the Lord wants you to do that. The Lord gave you he gave you hunger signals, the same as he gave you the urge to go to the bathroom. Those are all natural parts of our body, of cues that we have to take care of our bodies, and we need to be following those. When I first started eating plant-based, I would go to bed so hungry. And that was because I was following my old diet rules of I couldn't eat after a certain time and things like that. And so I would eat dinner and then I'd be very hungry at bedtime. And I remember going to bed so hungry, but thinking, well, I had to do that. You don't have to do that. If you're hungry at 10 o'clock, eat something. Eat. We are designed to follow our body cues. And when you have lived a life of dieting, you probably have shut a lot of those cues down. I know I did. When I would start out on my 500 calorie diets, I'd be very hungry for the first three days while my body adjusted. And I just thought that's what I had to do. Well, my body, it took 3 days because my body would go figure out it needed to go into starvation mode and start holding on to calories. And I was really doing a disservice to my body. Yeah, I lost weight, but I messed up. My body is awesome and is designed to survive. And I was making it be in survival mode, and which in the long term does not serve me, right? In the short term, it does because my body thinks, oh, I have to keep her alive. But in the long term, my body has now been a little hijacked, and now it's concerned that it's always going to be in a survival mode, right? And so I've learned that it's been really important for me to start having a relationship with my body. And if I'm hungry, I need to eat. It's really important for you to drop your current diet manual that you have. I'm sure you have one. When you start eating whole foods, no oil, and very few fats, that's the only, you know, we're leaving meat and dairy alone, and we're leaving the oil alone, and we're keeping our nut intake to a minimal, right? An avocado. Think of how those things grow in nature. That's the only reason that the plant-based doctors ask you to eat it minimally. Like, if you couldn't go to the store and buy almonds in a bag that were already shelled for you, would you want to, like, buy the almonds that you have to sit and crack? And how much longer would it take you to eat those, right? Nature puts those in nice little solid containers because of the high density of what's inside. So just keep that in mind. But we have processing plants that make all that. So you can sit and watch a show and just really crank in the nuts that are highly, there's a lot of calories in them that you don't necessarily need, and you don't need that much fat. So just keep that in mind. So Same with the avocado. Avocados, we can get them all year long. Well, if we had to grow our own avocado, you would eat avocados while your tree was producing, and then you wouldn't eat it after that. So just keep that in mind for your fats. That's the only reason I say that. But when you hear all of that, you might hear, oh, that's just another diet. But let me tell you the parts that are not a diet. If I'm hungry in the morning and I eat my bowl of oats and I'm still hungry, I eat another bowl of oats with berries or bananas or whatever I put in it. And if I'm hungry 2 hours later, I eat an apple. Or I like to have greens with all my meals. So I'll pull out some greens and I'll make me a salad or you know, I'll steam me some vegetables but I just get to eat. And I don't have to count anything. I don't have to write anything down. It doesn't have to take over my world. I just eat. I can make a vegetable soup and leave it in the crock pot all day, and I can eat on that all day. Every time I pass by, I can eat some if I want. So you've got to drop the mentality or your manual about when you can eat and how much you should be eating. And what I found for myself is I like to take my plate, and Dr. McDougall teaches this. You just cut your plate in half. And half of the plate is greens and half of the plate is your starch. And I find when I eat that way, I'm very filled and nourished. And every time I go back for seconds, I do the same thing. I half my plate with veggies and half my plate with starch. And I'm not in a place where I really am losing weight anymore, but that's what I do to really maintain my weight at this point. And not if I didn't, if I was eating only starches, I would be fine too, but that's just something I started a long time ago and I still do that. And I find if I do that, then I'm always eating greens. So I just, you know, but that's my manual. That's not your manual, but write a new manual and try to, when you get stuck in diet mentality of diet culture, which we'll talk about on our next episode, that hijacks your natural ability to listen to your hunger cues and your fullness cues. Call it for what it is. It's not normal. Would it be normal for you to say, I have to go to the bathroom? Oh, but I'm not going to go to the bathroom right now. I'm going to wait. Because I can't go to the bathroom till 10 in the morning. That's when I go to the bathroom. No one does that. You just go to the bathroom because you have to go to the bathroom. That is the same as hunger. If you're hungry, eat. Your body is, then you need to eat. And yes, there is, when you eat certain foods in abundance, it can hijack your hunger and you can be hungry more often. And I find those foods are, if I'm taking in sugar and I'm taking in flour, then sometimes that will kind of mess up those hunger, you know, I'll be hungry more often. But you don't really have to worry about that. When you're eating whole foods, and people eat bread on a whole foods plant-based diet, but I have to say there's a place for that. And so if you're having hunger issues, feeling like you're hungry all the time and you're never satisfied, I would look at your bread intake and just see, maybe I cut, you know, just go to whole foods for a while and see how your hunger does. But I have to say I'm pretty consistently hungry every 3 hours throughout the day. That's kind of what my body does. And I feed myself. If I'm hungry, I eat. And so you've got to start looking at if you have a lot of diet culture, which is telling you when you should eat, how much you should eat, all of those things, and you're not trusting your body, it's probably a good idea to call that for what it is and say, okay, I've got to create a new manual for myself. What does eating whole food plant-based look like for me? And start honoring that. It will help you. And my suggestion to you is, even don't let weight loss rule the manual for you. that will just bring frustration. Because as your body heals by giving it the true nutrition that it needs, healing looks different for everyone. Sometimes healing for someone will look like, oh, they lose weight. That's wonderful. I don't ever want to vilify that. But if you have a lot of healing to do, your body is wise and it's going to take care of the most important healing first. And you might not lose weight in a way that diet culture teaches us that you should. And you might. But eating the right foods for our bodies should just really be something that we eat nourishing food and then we leave our body size to God. That will give you some freedom. And your manual, you can create that manual in a much better way and healthy way for yourself than having a weight loss focused manual. And I would start writing down improvements that you see that have nothing to do with weight loss. And these, I'm not talking about no scale victories. That's diet culture. Ugh. What I'm talking about is things like, I don't have asthma anymore. I'm not feeling my asthma. Or I have a lot more energy. I used to need a nap during the day and now I don't. Or I am going to the bathroom more often. I am, you know, where I used before wouldn't go to the bathroom. Or I don't know how your body's going to start healing, but if you're listening to your body and you're paying attention, you'll start noticing the healing that takes place as you give it the nourishment that it needs. And so often we don't even pay attention to that because we're just looking at the scale and wondering if that's the ultra focus. And my suggestion to you is that is just a frustrating way to do this. It will feel like a diet. But if you can think of it as, these are the foods God wants me to be taking in, and I really want to live the life that He's designed for me, a life without disease, what does that look like for me, and how do I navigate that? And that's something that I necessarily can't tell you all the answers. That's something that, you know, if you're a prayerful person, then I would be asking, how does that look like for me? And it might look different than it is for, it might look different for you than it does for me, but it's worth asking. So it's worth it to drop the manual, your diet manual that you currently have, if you've found that it's not served you over the years, and have a new manual. It's helped me. It's helped me a lot. And I have to say, my old manual sometimes shows up. And I have to recognize, oh, this is all my diet culture. I call it diet culture crap. Oh, this is my diet culture crap. And making certain things be most important or being frustrated. And that's shown up a lot actually during COVID for me. Because I just think that we're too alone with our thoughts. So, you know, old stuff's going to come up. But if I can kind of say, oh, that's what that is. Okay, you know, and organize my thoughts enough, and then go back and say, what does my new manual look like? And what my manual looks like is, I make commitments to myself and I honor them. What does that look like? If I say I'm going to exercise at a certain time every day, I show up for myself and I exercise. It has nothing to do with losing weight. It has nothing to do with the scale. It has nothing to do with me torturing my body. Anything of those, none of that. It just has to do with, I want my body to be strong for a long time. What does that require? That requires some exercise. So I'm going to show up and I'm going to exercise for myself today. We just got back from a little mini vacation this morning. I had decided when I got home, I was going to get back into, I've just been walking my dog a lot. I've really enjoyed being outside the house and walking, but I haven't been doing any weights. So I thought, oh, I'm going to come back and I'm going to walk the dog, but I'm also going to do some weights. But if I do weights, I have to do it earlier in the morning. So, you know, my alarm went off this morning and I really laid there thinking, I don't want to get up. But then I just remember, okay, I make and keep commitments to myself. I'm going to show up for myself. So I did. I got up. It felt very hard, but I put my shoes on and I went upstairs And I showed up for myself and I did the little workout, and then I've been so glad all day I did that. And I can think back of that all day and think of how proud I am of myself that I showed up for myself. And that's how I do, that's what I do with my food. I show up for myself. I make a decision. I make that of just what my life looks like with how I eat. And then I show up for myself and I eat those foods. And then there's some room for compassion. I love to live in the perfect, and I've said that before on the podcast. I love diet rules. I love diet culture and food rules. I love all of that. And to be perfect about it. And I just don't think that the Lord thinks that that's the space we're going to live in. I think that that's the adversary who tells us that's necessary. And so over the weekend, it's huge for me that I showed up to a family vacation weekend and I showed up in a space of not being perfect. I did a really great job in a situation where there was a lot of other things to eat, but I know that I wanted to feel good most of the time by the foods that I ate, and I feel good eating plants, so I had lots of plants, but I also had Chex Mix and it was delicious, and my brother grilled some meat and I even had some meat, and it's okay. The world didn't come up, fall apart, and God still loves me, and it's everything's okay. And I still feel like I showed up for myself, but I also had some compassion for myself that I'm not going to be perfect in every situation, and that is part of the human experience. And so I want you to come up with your own manual. And if you can make it not be about all the things the world cares about your body size, that will help you creating a manual that serves you. Because really, people, your pant size is the least interesting thing about you, but we make it the most important thing. It's really ridiculous how that works, but that's what we do. So that's what this podcast is about, calling it out and saying that is not the most important thing, but what is important, we want to live a long, healthy life, and so that we can serve God and do it the way He wants us to, and not live a life where as we age, we're sick and people need to take care of us. That's the goal. The goal is we can live a big, healthy life and be the grandma that keeps up with her grandkids and even then with the great grandkids. And then one day she just falls dead. That's the goal. And so how do we do that? We do that through taking care of these beautiful temples that we've been given. Think of how the church takes care of the temple and if our bodies are a temple, think of how the church takes care of the temples and the care that's been given that gets given to them. And then think of that as you write your manual for your life of what taking care of your own body looks like. Love it with that degree. And I hope that the experience that you're having in your temple is a beautiful one. We've got to work on that too. Because crappy diet culture teaches us that unless we have a body that's a very certain size, then it's not worth having if we don't have that. And that is a lie. God created us in all shapes and all sizes, and He really is not concerned about the size of your genes, but He is concerned about how you're taking care of the temple, that the gift that He's given you. So think of all of those things when you're thinking, what does my new manual look like for myself in this effort to take care of myself? So, all right, that's all I have. I added this on to the last podcast, to the manual. I've kind of ended and then I went, oh, I didn't get it all. So if I repeated myself, that's why. So I hope that you write yourself a new manual and then watch yourselves as we start coming out of this crazy time of social distancing that, let's give each other some grace. All right. Have a great day, everyone. Until next time. A few things before you go. If you have found that you need help on your journey of taking amazing care of yourself and loving the space you take up in the world, please, I would love for you to come join us in my monthly membership coaching program called Breathe. Breathe is a place where like-minded women come together and help one another. I help you by coaching you, and then I record that, and then other women will watch while you are helped, and then you watch other women when they're helped. And it's this community where women are helping women, and it's so beautiful. There's a lot of other perks when you're a Breathe member. So you receive coaching, you get to watch other women be coached, and then you also get to have access to any course that I provide. So right now, there's two courses in the membership. One is how to eat plant-based in 30 days without dieting. So if you're at the very beginning of your journey, that will help you so much. Now, if you're a little bit further along in your journey, you will probably love my course that is on self-care. And it's a self-care course that you take over 6 weeks. And it's a way for you to come home to yourself and start figuring out, what does love feel like for you? And this is a course that I usually offer just to a group coaching program, but now it's also offered in Breathe. Something else you'll have is you'll have this community of support. There'll be a private Facebook group that you can check in with. And remember, you're going to be seeing these other women be coached. So you will get to be, honestly, their best friends. It will be a wonderful community. And you know, sometimes when we eat plant-based and we try to leave diet culture, it's a little bit lonely. So that will be a wonderful support for you. Last thing, I provide weekly meal plans. I'm trying to think of everything I can to make this process of you loving you and you loving the space you take up in the world and you taking amazing care of yourself, to have all the tools for that. And one tool to simplify your life is a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. And that will also be available in Breathe. And all of that will be available on an easy app so that you can access it on your phone and you can, it can be very user-friendly for you. So come join me in Breathe. You remember, nothing in your life has to change for everything to change. And that's the work we do in Breathe. Have you come up for air? Have you needed help to keep breathing? I got you. Come join us in Breathe. Have you downloaded my free commitment planner? Okay, if you haven't, you totally need to. It's such an easy way for you to make and keep commitments to yourself and honor those commitments. Go to my Instagram account, and in the links in bio, there is an option there to download that for free. Totally go get that. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. If you're feeling like you're missing episodes, it's probably because you're not subscribed. So wherever you listen, you just subscribe, and then they will make sure that you don't miss an episode. Also, are you part of my free Facebook group? If you're not, you should be. Come on over, share recipes with us, and it's just a really diet culture-free place to enjoy being online. And last of all, have you left me a review? Reviews are really important, because that's how other people find the podcast, is through a review. So wherever you listen, go ahead and leave me a review there so other people can get the help that they need through the podcast. All right, y'all are the best. Have the best day. See you next time.